This is a reading of A Way of Self-Knowledge by Rudolf Steiner, Collected Works, Written Work, Volume 16 in the Collected Works. Meditation 3, Clairvoyant Cognition of the Elemental World. When you perceive phenomena through the elemental body rather than through the physical body, you experience a world unknown to sensory perception and ordinary rational thinking. To compare this world with something that is part of ordinary experience, consider the world of memory images. Like memories, the elemental body's suprasensory experiences rise up from the depths of the soul. In the case of memories, the soul knows that they relate to earlier experiences in the sensory world. Suprasensory images also refer to a world. Like memory images, they present themselves as something that we cannot dismiss as simple fantasy. They are wrested from inner soul experiences, and at the same time reveal themselves as inner experiences that relate to something outer, in quotes. By means of memory images, something that we previously experienced becomes present in our soul. Through suprasensory images, likewise, what exists sometime or somewhere in the suprasensory world becomes inner soul experience. The very nature of these experiences is such that we can look upon them as communications from a suprasensory world unfolding within us. How far you are able to take suprasensory experience along these lines depends upon how energetically you pursue the strengthening of your soul life. It makes no difference whether you receive the idea that plants are more than what you see in the sensory world, or you receive a similar idea about the whole earth. Both belong to the same realm of suprasensory experience. If, having acquired the capacity to perceive outside your sensory body, you observe a plant, you will then perceive, in addition to what your senses show you, a subtle form that permeates the whole plant. This form will present itself to you as a force being, and you will come to see this force being as that which forms the plant out of the substance and forces of the sensory world and causes the circulation of the sap. To use a workable analogy, though not a particularly accurate one, you could say that just as your soul raises your arms, something in the plant circulates the sap. You see something, quote-unquote, inner in the plant, and you feel that this inner nature of the plant has a certain independence in relation to what your senses see in the plant. You also feel that this inner plant nature must exist prior to the sensory perceptible plant. From this point of view, you observe how a plant grows and wilts, how seeds sprout, and how out of them new plants form. The suprasensory form, quote-unquote force form, is strongest in the observation of a plant seed. In a seed, the sensible component is rather simple and inconspicuous, but the suprasensory component is complex, embracing everything that from the suprasensory world collaborates in the structure and growth of the plant. Suprasensory observation of the whole earth, likewise, reveals a force being that you can know with certainty existed before anything sensory arose upon the earth. This enables you to experience the presence of the suprasensory forces that collaborated in the formation of the earth in ancient times. What we thus experience with regard to plants or to the earth may indifferently be called their etheric, elemental, essential being or body. Just as we may call the body through which we perceive when out of the body our elemental or etheric body. As soon as we begin to develop faculties of suprasensory observation, we will begin to be able to see in the things and processes of the sensory world in addition to the sensible characteristics that we perceive with our normal senses, certain elemental essential beings. We will then speak of the etheric body of plants or of the earth. But that kind of elemental being is certainly not the only suprasensory being that we can experience in this way. Having recognized that the etheric body of a plant forms the matter and forces of the sensory world and unfolds itself in a sensory body, we will also be in a position to observe beings that have an elemental existence without unfolding in a sensory body. In other words, for the observer of the suprasensory, they are purely elemental beings. Those who are able to observe in this way do not merely experience something added to the sensory world. They experience a world within which the sensory world seems, for example, like pieces of ice floating in water. If you could see only the ice and not the water, you would recognize only the ice and not the water as real. That is, if you hold only to what is revealed through your senses, you will deny the suprasensory world, of which the sensory perceptible world is a part, just as the pieces of ice floating in water are part of the entire mass of water. You will find that people who are able to observe suprasensory realities use expressions that are borrowed from sensory perception to describe what they see. Thus, you will find such observers describe the etheric body of a being of the sensory world or of a purely elemental being as a closed, multicolored light body. Flashes of color arise, glow, or flame, thereby communicating that these light or color phenomena are expressions of life. But what is being spoken of is actually completely invisible. In fact, the observer is well aware that what he or she perceives, the images of light or color, has no more to do with the suprasensory fact than writing, which communicates a fact, has to do with the fact that it communicates. In spite of this, the observer does not use sensory perception arbitrarily to express the suprasensory. During the experience, the observer actually experiences something similar to a sensory impression. This is because in the suprasensory experience, the observer is not completely free of his or her sensory body. The sensory body is still connected with the etheric body and thus conveys the suprasensory experience in sensory form. The description of an elemental being may therefore seem like a fantasy or visionary combination of sensory impressions. Nonetheless, the description is a true account of the experience, for the observer sees what he or she describes. The mistake that is sometimes made has nothing to do with the image as such by which one describes the experience. The mistake arises only when one claims that the image is reality, instead of understanding that it only indicates the corresponding reality. If someone born blind were to achieve the capacity described here, that person would not describe the elemental beings as, quote, flashing color phenomena, unquote. A blind person would describe things in terms of his or her experience. But for those of us who can see, descriptive expressions that speak of colors are perfectly appropriate. They enable us to communicate the sensation of what we have seen of the elemental world. This is true of how persons who are clairvoyant, as someone who can observe through the etheric body is called, communicate with those who are not clairvoyant, as well as for how clairvoyants reach a common understanding among themselves. In the sensory world, people live in sensory bodies. Thus, their suprasensory observations are clothed in sensory perceptible forms. To express suprasensory observations through the sensory imagery engendered by them is a useful method of communication for people in earthly life. What is important is that those to whom such descriptions of suprasensory experience are addressed have an experience in their souls that stand in the right relationship to the facts described. Sensible images are used only so that something may be experienced through them. In fact, they could never happen in the actual sensory world as they are presented, which is their peculiarity and the reason why they call forth experiences unconnected with sensory perceptions. When you begin in clairvoyance, you will find it difficult to free yourself from using sensory images. As your ability increases, however, you will feel a need to devise more arbitrary forms of expression to recount what you saw. In that case, you will need to explain the particular signs or symbols that you use. The more the culture of our time demands that we make suprasensory insights known, the more apparent it will become that we must communicate these insights with the means of expression made available to us by everyday life in the sensible world. Suprasensory experiences can arise spontaneously and take a person by surprise. Those to whom this happens are then given an opportunity to learn something of the suprasensory world through their own experience, to the extent, at least, that they are graced by the light of the suprasensory world shining into their ordinary soul life. To produce clairvoyant observation from ordinary soul life at will, however, is a higher capacity. Achieving that capacity generally requires an energetic and continued inner strengthening of one's soul life. In this regard, much depends upon attaining a particular soul mood. A calm, detached relationship to the suprasensory world is necessary. Such a relationship is as far removed from the burning desire to experience as clearly as possible, as much as possible, of the suprasensory world, as it is from its opposite, disinterest in that world. Burning desire spreads a kind of invisible fog before our body-free gaze. Disinterest means that, though suprasensory things may actually reveal themselves, they are not noticed. This lack of interest sometimes manifests in an odd way. Many people, quite honestly, wish to experience clairvoyance, but unfortunately, they begin with too definite a preconception of how such experiences should appear if they are to be recognized as genuine. When real experiences then happen, they slip past such people, who show no interest in them because they do not fit their preconceptions. Involuntarily produced clairvoyance. A moment comes in the course of the soul's inner activity, when one realizes, now I am experiencing something I have not experienced before. The experience is nothing specific. It is more of a general feeling that you are neither in the dualistic sensory outer world, nor within yourself, as you are during ordinary soul life. Inner and outer experience flow together into a state of consciousness previously unknown to you, a state you know you could not have had through ordinary sensory experience of the outer world of the senses, nor in ordinary feelings and memories. As you experience this state, you notice next something pushing into it from a hitherto unknown world. But you cannot create a picture of this unknown thing. You experience it, but you cannot represent it. You also have the feeling that the physical sensible body acts as an obstacle to representing that which is pushing its way into your soul. But if you now continue your inner soul exertion, after a time you will feel that you have overcome the resistance of your body. Your physical apparatus for understanding was, until then, capable of creating only ideas connected with sensory experiences. It was at first unable to propose an image for what the suprasensory world sought to reveal. To do so, it had first to be developed. just as children are surrounded by the outer world, but must have their intellectual apparatus prepared by that outer world in order to create ideas about it, so people in general are unable without preparation to form ideas regarding the suprasensory world. Beginning clairvoyants prepare their apparatus for forming ideas in much the same way as children do, but on a higher level. They allow strengthened and concentrated thoughts to act upon it. In this way, the apparatus is gradually transformed and becomes capable of taking the suprasensory world into the life of representation. You can feel how your soul activity works formatively on your body. At first, your body strongly resists the life of your soul. You experience your soul as a foreign body within you. Then you notice how your body is slowly adjusting to your soul experiences. Finally, just as you are unaware of your eye, EYE, when looking at the world of color, you cease to feel your body when the suprasensory world appears before you. Before the soul can see into the suprasensory world, the body must become invisible, imperceptible. As a rule, once you have thus achieved a state of intentional clairvoyance, you will be able to produce the state by concentrating upon a thought that you can experience inwardly with special intensity. You will then find that dedicated concentration upon that thought produces clairvoyant activity. At first, you will not be in a position to determine exactly what you will see. Suprasensory phenomena and processes that you are quite unprepared for and therefore have no desire to produce will play into your soul. Nevertheless, with further inner strengthening, you will be able to direct your spiritual gaze to things you intend to see. Just as you can recall a forgotten experience by bringing forth in your soul something related to what you have forgotten, so as a clairvoyant you can begin with an experience that you have reason to believe is related to what you seek. If you concentrate intensely upon the known experience, after a shorter or longer period, what you wish to experience will often appear. In general, you should be aware that calmly waiting for the favorable moment is of the greatest value for the clairvoyant. You should never try to force anything. When the desired experience does not happen, it is best to wait and try again another time. The human cognitive apparatus requires a calm ripening for particular experiences. Whoever lacks the patience to wait for such a ripening will have flawed or imprecise observations. The end of Meditation 3.